Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to Psalms chapter 127, the 127th Psalm. Now, I appreciate you coming tonight. Some of you are saying, preacher man, with a build up like that, we're on the edge of our seats. When I announce what I'm going to preach to you on tonight, some of you are going to go, do what? But that's exactly why I had to do what I did and say what I said this morning. Because the problem is there's not enough people that see the importance of what I'm going to preach to you tonight.
Amen.
And they don't realize it.
Right.
And because of that, things are not what they could be.
Right.
But when I announce what I'm speaking on, would you do me a favor? Please don't turn me off.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking to the sound guys.
Right.
When I announce what I'm speaking to you about tonight, please don't turn me off.
Amen.
And please do not say, that doesn't apply to me.
Oh, no. Yes, it does.
There is nothing there for me.
Oh, no.
And that's not so.
No, sir.
All right?
No, sir.
So please don't cut me off. Listen to the message tonight, because I believe it's very, very important.
Amen.
Look in Psalm 127. Would you look at verse 3? The Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord,
Amen.
And the fruit of the womb is His reward. I'm convinced tonight that we're in extreme danger of losing our heritage. I believe it with all this within me, and I don't want that to happen.
No, sir.
The truth of the matter is I've spent definitely the biggest part of my life trying to keep that from happening.
Oh, yes.
For the last 49 years, come this August, for 49 years I have taken my life, and every year of those 49 years, I have put a great deal of it investing it into children and young people.
Amen.
Young people, all right? I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of why we have a Christian school.
Amen.
Why we have a Christian school.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to just be honest with you. Christian school is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
Takes a lot of time.
Right, sir.
Takes a lot of time, and it's easy for people that don't see the importance to think, gee, you'd be better. Preacher, why don't you just shut her down? Why don't you just close it up? In the 45 years we've had our Christian school, there have been more schools closed than have opened.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
That I know about.
Oh, yeah.
In this area.
Right.
We're part of an athletic conference that are schools like ourselves.
Right.
And we just, you know, have a competition in between us. And there was one time when there were about 20 Christian schools, or maybe a little over that,
right,
in that athletic conference.
Right.
Today, there's 5. You said, what happened to the rest of them? Most of them closed.
Right.
They're no longer there anymore. And this breaks my heart.
Amen.
A big chunk of them closed,
yes,
when the pastor's kids all finished school.
Right.
Now, that breaks my heart.
Yes, sir.
My dad asked me, when he knew his time on this world was short,
right,
and he said, are you going to close the school when, Larry and Lance get through? I said, Dad, when we started the school, do you remember?
Amen.
Not only did I not have any kids, I didn't even have a wife, okay?
Amen.
I mean, there were no prospects, all right?
Amen.
So I said, we didn't do it, you know. Many people do not consider Christian school important. You're going to wonder why in the world, you know, you're preaching on it. Why we need a Christian school? Well, now the very short answer for why we have a Christian school is because the Lord told us to do it.
That's right.
Over 45 years ago, God spoke to my heart, Dad's heart. We started what's now First Baptist Christian School.
Amen.
We just finished our 45th year, all right?
Amen.
But I want to give you some other reasons tonight why we have a Christian school. And I want you to stay with me. They're very important, all right? I believe the one reason I've already given you is enough. You ought to do what God wants you to do, okay? You ought to do that. And so, but I want to talk to you. Number one, Because of the Word of God and the command of God.
Amen.
Because of the Word of God and the command of God. Take your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6, would you? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want you to just go there. I want you to take a look at some two or three verses of Scripture that are right there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God gives us a command, all right? And it's plain and simple. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Hey, we are commissioned. We're not only commissioned, we're commanded by God.
Amen.
to teach children. We're commanded by God to do that. It is God's command. It is important, all right? There are some things that we're to make sure we pass down to our children.
Right. Amen.
Definitely things need to be passed down to our children. And I do not for a minute believe it is just limited to biblical truth. Now, all of it that's truth relates to biblical truth, all right?
That's right.
Now, just relax. We're not going to cover all of that tonight. We won't have time, all right?
Amen.
But all real truth relates to biblical truth. But I don't believe it's limited to biblical truth. You said, "Wait a minute, preacher. My kids are grown. They're on their own. We now have grandkids." Good. Yeah. I'm talking to you.
Amen.
I'm talking to you.
Yes,
don't want you to forget it, all right? I don't want you to forget it. And you say, "Well, we don't have any kids." Maybe say, "We don't want any," all right? I don't know. But it's important you hear what God says.
Amen.
We're commanded to do it. We have Sunday school.
Amen.
Say,
right.
Why?
Teach.
Right. Teach people the Word of God.
Right.
Teach people the Word of God. I want to tell you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school is involved in that too.
Yes, sir.
It's involved in that too. We're to do that, all right? Now, so we've got a command from God to teach some things that He's given us to our children. I want you to turn now to Proverbs chapter 22. We read this verse, you're going to say, "Boy, I've heard that 4,000 times. Good, make it 4,001, okay? Proverbs chapter 22, if you will, verse 6. Verse 6. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child. I want to tell you, training takes time.
Yes,
training takes time. Training takes work. There's a multitude of you sitting here that were in the armed forces. You've been in either the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, or the Air Force. You've been in some branch of the armed forces. The first thing they did was train you.
Right.
You got brought in. And the first thing they trained you was, you belong to us. You're not your own anymore. You're ours. You belong to Uncle Sam. And they spent weeks training you. Sometimes we look at, and I know we tend to think, well, yeah, 6 weeks of boot camp. But there's not a one of you who spent time in the armed forces that only had 6 weeks of training. That was where it started. But you were trained. It took work. It took time. Hey, it's necessary for us to train children.
Amen.
They've got to be trained to exist in a secular world. In our day, they've got to be trained to exist in a secular world that's more and more anti-God and anti-Bible than it was when some of us were kids. It's a different day. It's not the same day as it was when you were there. So the first reason why we have a Christian school, because we have a command of God and we've got the Word of God that says you train them and you teach them.
That's right.
You teach them. That's given to us, all right? That's the first reason. The second reason is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You and I have an adversary.
Amen.
We've got an adversary. Folks, I want to say something to you. He's not one to fool around.
Amen.
Satan is out to wreck and to ruin your life and the life of everybody he can get his hands on. There's some of you sitting here, he's worked you over big time. Man, you've had a terrible time. You've had some rough experiences in life because the devil got in and he has worked you over tremendously. You understand a little bit. But folks, I'm going to tell you, all of us need to be aware there's an adversary. He's out there. He's out there, and he's not holding back at all right? And by the way, he's never satisfied with the ruin he has brought.
Amen.
Never satisfied. Yeah, he could take away everything you've got and leave you penniless, leave you homeless, leave you a drunken sot or a dope head, but he still wouldn't be satisfied. He'll never be satisfied. We've got an adversary. Can I say this to you? Kids are a big target.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Big target. Children. Remember what the Bible says? The Bible tells us that sometimes it's necessary for us to administer the rod to drive the foolishness out of a child.
Amen.
Where in the world does that come from? Mm-hmm. Well, we're born sinners. But the devil's always hanging around real close. Hey, I'm not going to ask you, but you know, to stand and testify to it, but how many of you can remember when you were a kid? Now, maybe you were like me. Now, all of you weren't. I was a kid. I grew up in church. Grew up in church. I was in church every Sunday. We never missed. We always went to church. And there may be some of you like that, and that's the ones I'm talking about right now. I'm talking to you right now. You remember you were in church, but you remember there was always that one individual that came by your place and always wanted to pull you aside and was always ready to head you down the wrong track, was always standing by, more than happy to say, hey, won't you go with me to do this? The devil always sees to it there's somebody like that. Even if you're trying to live a godly life, if your parents are bringing you up in church, don't worry. Somebody says, oh, we shelter kids. Don't worry, the devil's after them.
Amen.
And he has a way of getting into that. We're targeted. He wants to shape. He wants to mold young people while they're young.
Amen.
Wants to get them. Ron Riley wrote a book, and the title of it is Building Youth is Better Than Mending Men. And boy, what a truth there is in that. Building youth is better than mending men. There's some of you sitting here tonight, your own testimony is, boy, I wish I'd have got saved when I was a young person.
Amen.
I wish I could have avoided a lot of the sin that my life has been scarred with because I didn't get in church, I didn't hear the gospel, I wasn't saved as a child.
Amen.
You have the scars to go with it. Some of you would sit here and say, I wish I would have stayed in church and I'd have not gone through some of the things I went through before I got back in church. Hey, why? Because the devil's after you. Hey, the patterns of your life are set when you're young. Your appetites are set when you're young. Most of us, even to this day, we eat what we eat because we started when we were kids. We started with the biggest part of what we eat. Now, I'll eat asparagus now, and I would have gagged at the thought of it as a kid. But it's still not my favorite veggie, okay? But I'll eat it. Right? My appetites were set when I was a kid. That's why I dearly love chicken fried steak. Man, cooked in a cast iron skillet. Hallelujah. Now we're told, oh, no. But those appetites were set when I was a kid.
Right.
Hey, but it's not just the appetite for food. It's the appetites of men. They're set when we're young.
Right.
They're set that way. Our habits. We develop habits when we're young. Now, when you get older and you decide, I want to change them, hard to change.
Yes.
Hard to change. Now, listen, our adversary wants to set those patterns, those habits, those appetites, he wants to set them in sin.
Amen.
And he is after kids.
Oh, yeah.
He's after kids. You that are here tonight, you're raising children, I want to say this to you. You got the toughest job in the world.
Amen.
And I believe that with all my heart. I believe raising children gets more difficult as days go by because the world gets more wicked. There's more things to influence them. There's things they're tempted with. I was never tempted with when I was a kid. Hey, when I was a kid, the only way you could get pornography was to get into a store behind the counter sometimes, and that's the only way you could get to it. Today, man, it's in your phone. Can I say this to you? You ought not to give a child a phone, turn them loose. You ought not to do that. If you can't stop it, if you can't make some, if you can't put some preventative stuff in that phone, I know some of them you can. If you can't do it, don't give it to them. Give them a flip phone.
Amen.
The only thing they can do is call you.
Amen.
So wait a minute. Now some of you young people sitting here, some of you kids go, preacher, knock it off. Cut it. Cut it.
Preach it, brother. Come on, preach it.
Hey, we're ruining our kids because the devil's after them.
That's right.
The devil's after them. We've got an adversary. Okay? So, preacher, why do we have a Christian school? Because we've got an adversary. We've got an adversary. Third reason I want you to think of is because of the failure of parents.
Amen.
Because of the failure of parents. Now, before you get mad at me, I don't mean every parent is a failure. Not on your life. By the way, the parents of the children we have in our Christian school now, all of those parents are not failures. They're not failures. Some of them are outstanding parents. Outstanding parents. Some of them, not so much. Hey, a lot of parents haven't done a very good job with their own kids. They don't do a very good job. A lot of people need help. They need help with their kids. They need some protection. Hey, there are a multitude of broken homes.
Amen.
Broken homes present all kinds of problems. And they present all kind of problems for kids. I've said this before. I believe it with all my heart. When parents can't stay together, the people that suffer the most are the children. They're the ones that suffer the most. They take the beating. And in some cases, parents use the children to beat their former spouse with. You're going to have to choose sides. What a terrible thing to do with a child. But it happens, all right? Now, thank God, some of those people will let us help them.
Amen.
They'll let us help them. Well, we've spent 45 years with a Christian school. I've been involved in that Christian school at some point all of those years, all right? And I still enjoy working with the kids. God gave me the blessing of being able to influence a lot of kids. I'd have never had a chance to touch their life had we not had a Christian school. All right? It wouldn't have done a bit of good. I'd have never met them. Never met them. We were on vacation a couple weeks ago, and we met with a couple that this girl graduated from our school way back yonder, and 40 years ago, as a matter of fact. 40 years ago, and we've become good friends, her and her husband, and she came to our Christian school. Here's the one reason she came. You talk about the wrong reason, this is the wrong reason. She came for one reason. She wanted to get married. She really wanted to get married. She had found the one, said, "This him, I want to marry him." And her mom and dad said, "You can't marry him until he finished high school." Problem was, she needed 2 years of high school. She came to our Christian school and sat down. I remember talking to them. I remember thinking, this is really not the best reason to put your child in a Christian school. But I let her come. In 1 year, she did 2 years worth of work. By the way, didn't cut any corners. She didn't do any. I mean, now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think I would let somebody do that now. But I was young and dumb then, okay? But I'll say this. God gave me an opportunity to have an influence on that young lady. She told me while my wife and I were sitting in their home. She said, they said not too long ago at church, in my Sunday school class, the teacher said, I want you to testify as to who influenced you in life. Amen. Who influenced you in life? Now, I want to say this to you. This girl's not a Baptist. Okay? But she said, sitting in my Sunday school class, she said, I looked at all of them and I said, the greatest influence in my life was a Baptist preacher.
Amen.
Me. I didn't know what I was doing in those days. I had no idea how much influence was being given. But you see, there's some kids that need some help. There's some kids that need some help. I told you some of them come from a broken home. We had a young man come to our Christian school. Man, he was a disaster. You talk about things messed up, it was messed up. I can't begin to tell you how many hours he sat in my office at school and I talked him through the problems he was going through just to get him through that day. I mean, I don't know how many times it happened. He was out of a broken home. Broken home. I just want to tell you, what a blessing. Tonight, he's in the midst of working to get his PhD.
Amen.
From a Christian college.
Amen.
Majoring in the Bible.
Amen.
Serving God.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, serving God. Be honest with you, when he graduated from high school, he graduated in absentia. He said, what does that mean? That means he wouldn't come to the graduation exercise. He wouldn't come to the ceremony. I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize how much an influence I'd had on him. I'd done everything I could for him, but later on I had somebody else tell me, hey, Brother Marlon, he loves you. He loves you. He speaks so well of you. And I thought, well, I didn't know that.
Amen.
Had no idea. He's got three little girls now, got a happy home.
Amen.
That wouldn't have happened if somebody wasn't there to help him. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you about how great I am. I'm telling you how much we need a Christian school.
Yes,
telling you how much we need a Christian school. It's important, all right? It is important. Why? Because of the failure of parents. The fourth reason is because of the philosophy of government schools. The philosophy of government schools. Now, let me stop right here and put in a disclaimer so nobody flies off the handle. I'm not indicting every public school teacher.
No, sir. No,
there's some good folks. There's some godly people still teaching in the public school system. There are some out there. And by the way, I tell people all the time, we're not in competition with the public school. Because what we offer is something really a whole lot different.
Amen.
Whole lot different from that. But I want to tell you, in the government schools, their philosophy is governed by the religion of humanism. Yes, I said religion of humanism.
Amen.
I'm talking about the underlying philosophy. It permeates everything.
Right.
The colleges that turn out the teachers that sit in the schoolrooms of our nation are drenched in humanism.
Yes, sir. Right.
Some of the most far out people in the world are found in colleges teaching those who are going to be teachers.
Right.
And they get affected. Hey, it's possible today to send a good, godly young man to the wrong Christian college.
Amen.
And he'll come out of that Christian college denying the inspiration of the scriptures, denying the virgin birth. He said, how'd it happen? Because he got under the wrong people teaching him.
Amen.
The wrong professor.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, it's even worse when it comes to the philosophy of the government schools, because you see, humanism says there's no room for God, and by the way, no reason for God. We can talk about how years ago when prayer and Bible reading were taken out of school. When I was a kid in school, the order of the day was we assembled, the teacher called us to order, the bell rang, we shut up, and it wasn't long we heard somebody over the loudspeaker that opened the Word of God and read the Word of God out loud to everybody in the school. And there's you too, many of you same way. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't happen today.
Nope.
Yeah, I read about folks that carry a Bible to school And they get that folks want to take that away from them. Don't even want to allow them to do it. Don't want them to say a word about the Lord, all right? We live in a day where it seems like everything can be allowed in the classroom except the Bible and Christianity. We read of instances. I've heard of classes where one of the activities in the class was to have the classroom memorize parts of the Quran. They had to memorize that. In some cases, they had to talk about what kind of jihad they would like to go on. That's a holy war, all right? And they were together chanting those scriptures, those Quran verses from the Quran, chanting them out loud together. How many times do you think that'd go on in a school where they were doing that with the Word of God? The ACLU would be knocking on their door. That group that is against comes out against and strongly about the separation of church and state, you know. They would be dancing on their door. And it's amazing why anything can go on in the classroom except that which is good and that which is godly, all right? Hey, so why? Why do we have a Christian school? Because of the philosophy of government school. Listen, I sat in the college classroom at North Texas State University that trained teachers, all right? Because I decided I'm going to get a degree and get a teaching certificate. I thought I would do that. So I got in the very first class. Everybody that's going to do that goes through a class that amounts to a screening class. And I'm sitting in that classroom looking at those other students in there that one day hope to be teachers. I'll be honest with you. I sat and looked and listened for a semester, and there were a lot of those people I thought I wouldn't let them train my dog, amen, much less let them have my child. Now, I just want to tell you, that was 40-plus years ago. Amen. If you think it's any better, you got a lot more faith than I do, all right? It's not any better. And that was what's turned out. Now, is everybody that way? No, I said that at the beginning. But I mean, there was a host of them I thought, you got to be kidding. They want to teach. They gave us all a test, a general knowledge test, okay? I'm not going to tell you the grade I made on it. The grade was a percentile compared to everybody that takes the test. Now, listen to me. One of the students in that classroom, that was their grade. Not 20%, not 200, 2%. That person did better than 2% of all the people that took the test. Now, can I just point out to you that is an extremely low score? We're talking, say, if we're looking at 100, what'd you make? 2. Now, I don't tell you, you don't go home and brag about that kind of grade, all right? You don't strut around, I made 2. Now, let me tell you, everybody in that class got moved ahead in the teacher education program at North Texas State University. The one that made 2 moved ahead. All of them did. And that was a screening class. Sounds like to me the screen door's got some big holes in it, all right? Big holes in that thing, all right? So because of the philosophy of government schools, I'll tell you another reason, because of the indoctrination in the government school. Indoctrination. There was a time when schools were controlled at the local level. They were thoroughly controlled at the local level. We still have boards of education at a local level. I know that. They're still there. But I want to say this to you. A lot of local control has been lost. Amen. A lot of local control has been lost. A few years back, that's a good many years ago now, they decided what we needed in the United States was the Department of Education. So we've got a national Department of Education that produces plans and all that kind of stuff. And hey, this is a matter of history. If you don't like the preacher and don't want to believe him, check it out. The quality of education that our schools in our nation have produced has done this ever since that day.
Amen.
It's not getting better.
No, sir.
Not getting better. If you have people run for office, how many times have you had somebody running for office saying, well, one of my main goals is going to be education.
No, yeah.
Education. I'll be honest with you. Every time one says that, I grab my billfold.
Yes, sir.
Because the only thing they know to do is throw money at the situation and the problem. And I'll be honest, I could stand here tonight on this subject and talk for a long time. But I'm not going to do it, all right? Hey, we live in a time where the curriculum and other directives no longer are controlled at a local level. They're controlled, they come from a national level. You've heard of things like No Child Left Behind. We talk about all that kind of stuff. There's been all kinds of programs, all right? Listen, the very history of our country is being altered. What is being taught in schools today is not what was taught when I was in school. History. Hey, we no longer hear our country bragged about as unique.
No, sir.
Our country is not looked upon as unique and special among the nations of this world. It's just not looked at that way. We're not considered, they don't talk about it being the greatest country that's in the world. The truth of the matter is what's shifted and going on in schools around the nation. And now, by the way, not every individual school.
Right.
Don't get upset. Don't come and say, preacher, now I want you to know, I know this school. Good. I don't mean every one. I'm saying overall. The trend overall is to take, and we're no longer encouraging kids to look to their national government, but an international thing.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So you're no longer just a child of this nation, but you're a citizen of the world.
Yeah.
No, I'm a citizen of heaven, first of all.
Amen.
But I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm not a citizen of the world.
Nope. Right.
And that's got great implications. I could talk to you about sex education, all right? The truth of the matter is that's become, really, it's become an exercise in education in perversion. Just goes beyond belief, all right? All manner of perversity is pushed and normalized in our schools.
Amen.
Hey, they've already got books made and geared for kindergarten students talking about, Amy has two mommies. They're pushing that. Lesbianism, homosexuality. Look, it's normalized, it's pushed there. Why do we have this problem today where it seems like, you know, more and more we hear some student that they come up and said, Fred here thinks he's a girl.
Come on, yeah.
All right, and so since they identify as a girl, then we're going to let them be a girl. And if you're the teacher, you have to call that he a she. And if you don't do that, you'll lose your job. Hey, I'll be honest with you. There's no way in the world I could operate in the public school system.
Amen.
I couldn't do it.
Amen.
Not any way in the world. I'm not going to call a he a she.
No.
I'm not going to call a she a he. No. Hey, by the way, there's not 437 sexes. There's two.
No, sir.
There's two. You said, preacher, how can you be so dogmatic? Because the Bible said male and female created he them.
Amen.
Two.
Amen.
Two. Just two.
No more.
Just two. There's no more than that. And all this business of folks that want to be the transgender deal and say, I'm not, you know, Darla says, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. And you've got parents today coming out talking about their three-year-old child and supporting that kind of thing. Can I tell you something? At 3 years old, a kid doesn't know which end is up, okay? They don't have the foggiest idea about anything. And if they have that kind of thoughts, it's because it's been implanted there by somebody else. Some pervert somewhere else has put that thought in their mind. God help us to realize that. Can I say this to you? I don't want my kids. I don't want my grandkids. I don't want your kids. I don't want your grandchildren going to school sitting next to Fred that thinks he's Francis.
Right.
I just don't. I don't want that. I don't want that to be. I don't want that to happen. You talk about confusion. Man, it's unheard of in our day. Absolutely. Who in the world? Come on, some of you folks that are close to my age, would you have ever thought in your wildest imagination we would be faced with the foolishness going on today? Where even our president says we need to be considered of the transgender people. They look, don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not for mistreating anybody. I'm not for mistreating anybody. And if you get that out of what I'm saying, you're dead wrong. I believe with all my heart we're dealing with people that have mental issues. They've got some mental issues for whatever reason. But because of that, we don't need to change the world to accommodate them. A very, very small minority. And we want to change everything to accommodate them. What a shame that we'd even consider something like that. Hey, but also there's a chance you might have that individual teaching your child.
Right.
You might have that individual teaching your grandchild. Now, hey, that happens. Go to the school and protest. See how far you get.
Right.
Yep. Just go see how far you get. Look, it's a problem. It's getting so bad today we're beginning to see what is known as the critical race theory introduced into the government schools and taught. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's going on in Tarrant County right now. Did you hear me? Right now. But I'm saying these things that started elsewhere where we thought it'll never happen here, they're happening here now. And this thing is going on coming up. You said, what in the world is a critical race theory? And be honest with you, I've heard the terminology kicked around. I thought, what is that? So I looked. Critical race theory is based in Marxism. But it uses terminology like equity. Who in the world is against equity? Not against equity. It uses terminology like social justice. Now, because of the day we live in, when people use the word social justice, I go, But just as a term, I'm not against social justice. Diversity and inclusion. Culturally responsive teaching. Those terminology. It can all sound real innocent, but I'm going to cut to the chase, okay? Men, it basically blames the white male for just about everything.
Amen. That's right.
That's what the critical race theory does.
Yep.
You talk about an endangered group, it's men.
Yes, sir.
Hey, can I say this to you guys? If you're a real man, you're an endangered group.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
Because we live in a day where we're trying to take the men and feminize them. And we're taking the women and masculinizing them, all right?
Yes, sir.
We're doing that. They'll do that in a school, you know.
Exactly.
Do that in a school. If a kid goes into school and he likes to play, you know, and climb and do that kind of thing, and maybe even, horrors, take his finger and go, bang!
Yeah.
Oh, my soul!
Exactly.
What a tragedy that anybody even consider that. Hey, wait a minute. That's normal. That's okay. It is all right for kids to do that. It is all right. Say, can I say this to you? It's okay for boys to be boys. You with me?
Amen.
It is all right for boys to be boys.
Amen.
They should be.
Sure.
They're not to be girls.
Right.
Man, in our school, sometimes the boys get knocked down. They come in, skin up and everything. And, you know, so what I do is say, tough it out, Jack. You won't bleed to death. We started our Christian school here in this building back in the fellowship hall, and we played football every break on the parking lot.
Right.
Yes. Asphalt parking lot.
Amen.
Hey, you play football on asphalt. Now, it was touch football.
Yeah, right. But
sometimes they get touched hard, okay?
Yeah.
Things happen. They would fall down. We had one boy. I'll never forget him. I can see him right now. The way he looked then, he's grown now. He probably got grandkids, okay? But I can see him. At the end of the year, we have an awards ceremony. He fell down so many times, got beat up so much. We doctored him for all kinds of things. I mean, no rashes and bruises and scrapes and cuts. And at the end of the year, I went to the edge of the parking lot and got a piece of asphalt. And at the award ceremony, I said, "You've ate so much of it, let me give you a piece to take home with you, all right?"
Amen.
Hey, it's okay for boys to be boys. At the same time, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want the girls to be boys.
No, sir. No.
I don't want them to be boys.
No.
I want them to be feminine.
Amen.
I want them to be feminine. I don't want them to look like a fullback.
No, sir. No.
Walk like a fullback.
That's right.
I want them to walk like a lady. What in the world's wrong with that?
Amen.
Hey, but those kind of things are not being pushed.
No.
Those things are not being encouraged. It's changing. It's changing everything. You call me whatever you want to. Doesn't bother me at all. But I believe there's a movement afoot to destroy our land. To destroy our country. They can't do it without destroying Bible-believing churches. Can't do it. Now, our nation was founded on Christian principles. If you destroy those principles and take them away, you destroy the foundation of our land. You'll destroy it. Hey, I believe our kids, and I don't mean just yours and mine.
No.
I believe the kids out there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When we started our Christian school 45 years ago, I'd never heard of a closed Christian school.
Amen.
You say, what does that mean? I mean a school where they only allowed people to come who were members of that church. I'd never heard of that.
Right.
45 years ago, I don't think that existed. If it did, it's an extreme minority.
Yes.
When we started our school, we allowed other people to come.
Oh, yes.
Because of that, we've had the opportunity. Not just me, Brother Dunbar.
Oh, yeah.
Every faculty member we've ever had. Ms. Autry taught for us for years.
Yep.
Every faculty member we've ever had had the opportunity to touch the lives of a lot of people.
Amen.
A lot of people. And we've had people. Now, we're careful about who we take. We screen them. I don't want the juvenile delinquent in our school, all right?
Amen.
There's other places to send them and help them. I don't want that. That's not what we're trying to do. But I see a lot of kids that could be salvaged, or really not salvaged, but could be saved from needing salvaging.
That's right.
If we get them in a Christian school. If we can keep First Baptist Christian School open. I believe, hey, that's why we have First Baptist Christian School.
Oh, yes.
For those reasons. I believe it's time for you and me to live upright, godly lives, take a stand for what's right, and to protect our kids and our families. I believe that. And I believe part of that involves a Christian school. You said, my kids are all grown, preacher. What you've said, I agree with you, but it doesn't touch me. Well, it could. It could. Now, this is not the reason I preach this message. Some of you are going to think that's the only reason you preach the message. What I'm going to say to you. I preach this message because we've said very little through the 45 years in church about our school. We've said, our Christian school, by the way, has never been a financial drain on the church.
No,
never been a financial drain. The only thing the church did for the school is build the building.
Right.
Our school, since we began, we've paid the utilities. The school paid the utilities. The school today pays the utilities for the school.
Right.
We pay it, all right? Our school, and now you said, how do you do it? Because my dad was a financial genius.
Amen.
I mean that. I believe he was, and he passed part of that on to me.
Yes,
I'm not as much of a genius at it as he was, but we've managed to pay the way. And it's been a blessing. We've not had to come. We've not stood in front of the church in those 45 years and said, we've got to take an offering to pay the teachers in our Christian school. The school itself has paid the salaries of the teachers. Now, I just want to tell you, okay? I want to tell you, Brother Dunbar, my wife, Ms. Autry, when she was teaching for us, and the other folks that have taught for us down through these 45 years, never were paid what they were worth. Never. Never. All of them could have made more money elsewhere. They were worth more money. You said, why in the world did they do it? Because they believed God put them there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
They believed God put them there. And they were willing to do what they did.
Right.
Now, I'm going to say this to you, all right? There's a possibility that maybe, hey, I want you to know why we have a Christian school.
Amen.
I want you to know why. If you say, man, preacher, why do you put that extra work on yourself? Because I believe in what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
I believe in what we're doing. Man, it does. It puts extra work on you.
Oh, yes.
The truth of the matter is, at the end of the school year, the last day of school, I go, phew, every year. And there's a lightening of the load. There's a lightening of the load. It's a blessing. I look forward to school being out for summer more than any kid in school does. All right? I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. We're out, you know. But wait a minute. Some people think, oh, man, 3-month vacation. If you think Brother Dunbar's got a 3-month vacation, if he tells you he has, I want you to tell me. Because he needs to be working somewhere else, all right? No, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of things. You say, what are you going to do? And I remember people used to ask me when I didn't have an associate and we didn't have somebody working. And, well, man, I guess you got a lot of extra spare time. I thought, yeah, for the next 3 months, I'm going to try to make up what I've been missing for the last 9.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Been missing for the last 9. Hey, listen, I said that to tell you this. We have a Christian school for a reason. It's needed. Christian schools are needed more today than they ever have been.
That's right.
They ever have been. We're not thinking about closing ours down. We're not thinking about doing it. As long as I'm pastor and as long as my heavenly Father gives me strength, we'll have a Christian school open. I don't mind the work, okay? But let me say this to you as church members. Don't you ever hesitate to call me if you think he's too busy.
Amen.
Don't you ever do that. Don't ever do it. Now, I've had people call me and say, preacher, are you busy? Now, some of you have done that. Here's usually my answer. Nope, I'm sitting here in my chair with my hands behind my head and my feet on my desk.
Amen. Yes, sir. Praise God.
Now, it's not true. I'm kidding. But I want to say this to you. You mark it down. I'm never too busy.
Amen.
To help you. Never. Never. All right? We're not going to let that happen. All right? That's just not going to take place. But let me say this to you. I believe it with all this within me. I would not send my child to a government school.
Amen.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it for any amount of money. I don't want my grandkids to go to the government school. I don't want them. I don't want there to ever be the chance they'd have somebody who taught them that didn't know what gender they were. I would never want somebody to teach my child who was a sodomite. I don't want that to happen. I'm not going to agree with the crowd that says we just need to accept it as an alternate lifestyle. My Bible said it is wicked sin.
Amen.
It's sin. I don't want to expose kids. Now, I know I've heard the arguments. Well, you're raising your kids in a hot house. Where do you raise the best plants you want to grow?
Yep. Amen.
Well, take them out to Death Valley and see if they can tuck it out. No. You know, if they can tuck it out there. Well, we don't do that. Why in the world do you want to do that to your kids? Do that to your kids. Preacher, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Let me say this to you. And by the way, this is not an advertisement for our school. We might not take your child, okay?
Right.
Amen. It's not an advertisement. I'm telling you, I wouldn't do that. Wouldn't do it. You say, well, it's too expensive. It's not as expensive as it is to bury it. We have we've had some folks in our school, had children in our school. They took them out. Within 2 years, one of them was dead. He said, "Preacher, could you have changed that?" I don't know. I can't stand here and guarantee you that we can do it. I tell everybody that comes, it's the school, the church, and the home. And all three of them have got to work together. All three of them. But I really wonder if that child would be alive today.
Yep.
I really do. I really wonder. They got in the wrong crowd. And with the wrong group, they got killed. What a sad thing.
Amen.
What a sad thing. It's easier on you to finance some things than it is to hear your child come in and say, "Hey, my name's Fred, and I want to introduce you to my boyfriend."
Yeah.
Boy, I'd hate to go through that.
Oh, yes.
I'd hate to go through that. I'm just telling you, there's reasons we have a Christian school. And you might say, "I don't have anybody there. This affects me none at all," but it does. Because I want to remind you, children are the heritage of the Lord. If our heritage gets lost, okay, we're in a mess. And you say, "Well, I don't have anything." Maybe you could give and help somebody else go. That is not the reason for this message. Some of you are going to think it is, but it's not. But maybe you say, I don't have any kids. Maybe you could contribute. I've had people ask me, "Do y'all have a scholarship program?" Nope. Don't have money for that.
Right.
My money for that. None. Maybe you could contribute. All right? Maybe you'd find somebody that you know would be good for them being a Christian school.
Right.
And you could say, "I'll pay their way."
Amen.
"I'll pay their way." And you say, "Man, private school education is thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars." It isn't some. But not at First Baptist Christian School. I continually have to fight. I mean this, I'm saying a little facetious. Other people that say, "Preacher, we need to raise the tuition. We need to raise the tuition. We need to raise the tuition." I would like to. But I don't want to have a Christian school for rich people.
Amen.
Got a Christian school for people that sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Put their kids in there because they want to preserve them. I'm telling you, we need a Christian school.
Amen.
We need a Christian school. As long as God allow me, we'll have one. We'll have one. It doesn't have to be. Hey, I have no desire to have 5,000 students in our Christian school. My goal is not the biggest Christian school in the world. It's the best.
Amen.
It's the best. Now, by the way, you know, some people have crazy ideas. I have a guy one time who is a friend of mine say to me, this is what he said. He knew he had a Christian school, and he said, "Well, I just want to tell you something. I don't believe it's right if you won't let them graduate from school just because they say they've never trusted Christ as their Savior." I thought, where in the world did you get that idea anyway? Where'd you get that idea? Now, to me, the saddest thing in the world would be a student to go through our school and never trust Christ. That'd be sad. But we don't fail to give. There's no question at the time to graduate, are you saved? No, you can't graduate.
No.
Don't do that. Hey, by the way, Our Christian school is not just, as some people would say, a glorified Sunday school.
No, sir.
No, it's not.
No.
We teach
math.
Okay? We teach them how to, you know, 2 and 2 is still 4 at our school.
Amen. Yes,
7 times 8 is still 56 at our school. We haven't changed that. We still teach English.
Yes.
Still teach grammar.
Oh, yes.
We still teach science, biology, and physical science.
Amen.
For those that really like torture, chemistry, physics, we teach those things.
That's right.
We do it. We teach history, real history,
Amen.
Honest history,
yes,
that honors our country.
Amen.
We teach real government, economic. We teach those things. We teach those things. I don't want you to think, well, you know, if it's choice between, you know, a hillbilly don't know how nothing or a girl, you don't have to make that choice. You can have a Christian school that's got high standards, high academics. Let me just go ahead and put it out there. I've never said this before, but we've had multiple students graduated in our school. Hey, it's the only school they ever went to. They came in kindergarten. They graduated in the 12th grade. They went to college. They made the dean's list.
Yes, sir.
Multiple right. Students done that. We've had some that graduated from our school, went to college, graduated from college summa cum laude.
Right.
What does that mean? I have no idea. Sure sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Yes. Amen.
No, I do know what it means. It means with highest honors.
Right.
With highest honors. Hey, listen. You don't sacrifice academics.
No, sir.
Put your child in a Christian school to put any child in a Christian school. You don't do it. I'm telling you, I wanted you to know why we have a Christian school.
Amen.
And I wanted you to say, if God laid it on your heart, listen to me, this is it. You're not going to hear me say anything else about this. You're not going to hear me say, now listen, No, not going to do it. But if God lays on your heart to maybe give that would help another person come that didn't have the finances, that's great. If that doesn't happen, that you do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
But I want you to know why we have a Christian school. I want you to know why we have a Christian school. Now, I've said everything I've said. I've got a brother-in-law that retired from teaching in the public school system.
Right.
I've got a sister-in-law that retired from teaching in the public school system. All right? Yeah, I do. I'm not running them down.
No.
But I'm going to tell you what's important, what I do for mine,
yep.
My kids, and what I want for your kids. And by the way, your grandkids. Your grandkids. What we need is not less. We need more. Need more. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Hey, I have absolutely no idea how to give an invitation for this message. None whatsoever. I can't challenge you to get, you know, to give because that's not the purpose of the message. But I will say this to you. I do believe our land needs godly Christians. Godly people that'll stand for what's right and will do what's right. And you don't mind standing out. You don't mind stepping up, letting people know what you believe. We need that. We need that in our land. Because more and more, there's less and less of that. We need people that'll take a stand for God. Maybe you've got some sin. Nobody's mentioned it. No, nothing's been said all day about it, but you know it, and God knows it. Hey, maybe there's somebody you need to pray for. You just need to come and pray for them. We're going to give you that chance. You do tonight what God wants you to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. I know it's a different kind of message, and different than anything I've ever brought. But Lord, I pray you'd help us. You know the hearts of each one that's here. You know our needs. You know what's there. Lord, I pray you'd deal with us. Help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you. And Lord, you speak to us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?